just the mess that some of our people are in around us in our world in which we live. Lord, I just pray that you allow us to have that vision, Father, that we can see others in their need, and Father, not necessarily maybe look at who they are or what they may be wearing or, Father, anything else about them, but may we look beyond the faults, may we look beyond the circumstance, and Father, may we just simply see the need of the people around us. And God, I just thank you for how you work in us and through us, and Father, use us as that tool that can share your Son with those individuals. And Father, as we study tonight, as we're studying basically that whole concept on how that we can have that foundation where no matter what comes our way, we know that who we belong to, we know that there are many promises that you have for us, and Father, we are grateful for those. God, we just pray as we study that you open our hearts and our minds in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We are walking through this study, and I greatly appreciate the study because it's always an encouraging thing for me to be able to say, listen, this is the foundation. This is, if we just stay here on this foundation, and the reason that you and I can stay where God wants us to be is by the renewing of our mind. It's very clear in Scripture. That's how we are transformed from the worldly ways to God's ways. We're not conforming to the world. We're transforming out of it. And the only way to do that is to keep our minds focused. And if we would take the first chapter that we've studied through, and we've seen, again, Peter doing the one writing, Peter had to overcome a lot of things in his life. He had to overcome his sins and his mistakes and all that he thought he was doing right, but he wasn't when it comes to knowing the plan of God. And so as he overcame those things, I believe this is an instruction to the dispersed Jews that need that instruction, again, because they're everywhere. They're scattered. They don't have a church to come to. They don't have a family. They don't have support. And so he's instructing them, again, I'm the one writing this. You know my life. You know who your God is. And because of who he is, now you know who you are. You're one of his children. And because of that, he has promised you many, many things. And we saw that as we looked into even towards the end of chapter 1, verses 13 to the end of the chapter, how we are to live according to that. And it's interesting when you pick up on some of the things that Peter said, looking at even at verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, there's a hope that you and I have that we will understand one day what true grace is all about. Right now we know that it's by the grace of God we are saved. And we know that that grace was bestowed upon us. But we don't really understand the grace of God. We understand the effects of it. That's our salvation. That's the effects of the grace of God. But man, when we stand before him, we're gonna know what his grace really, truly meant. And I tell you, that's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a great day. But again, so he's saying all the things that you're going through, all the things that you do in your journey of life, they will all have a purpose. And we are to be tried by fire, as it's stated in verse 7 of chapter 1. So now we went through this last week as going through the understanding of because of, therefore, you know all these things. You know the foundation that Peter now laid. Now you got to live that. Because I think the first part of this study was one of mind. You know who I am. You know who God is. You know who you are. And now we're in a text that says, now everyone else needs to know that by how you live your life. And it's amazing to me how important that is in our life. One of the things that had an article I read, and it does stand true. Sometimes I'll walk around the halls and I'll go into certain rooms and they'll say, and I'll introduce myself, and I'm a chaplain. I knew you were a chaplain. And I always want to ask, well, how did you know that? I don't know. Just the way you walked into the room, like that makes me nervous. Like, how did I walk into the room? But sometimes, and I read an article, and it simply said, walk like a chaplain. And so I find it interesting, and it gives you all the things, you know, you're to walk into the room with calmness and, you know, all the humbleness and, you know, and with a smile and joy, all the things that you need to be so that people can look at you and say, wow, you must be a chaplain. And I thought, how, if they've got a list of things for me to look like as a chaplain, this is the list of things to me to look like as a child of God. It's the same concept. God says, listen, if you want people to know who I am, then there's certain things that they need to see in your life. You need to walk like this. And it's not, you know, all my days growing up, I just thought there were a bunch of rules and regulations. And I thought they were all in good suggestions. And if I could break them and get away with it, it'd be all right. But they weren't. They weren't just good suggestions. Their God is saying, I want to be known. And if I'm going to be known, then they need to see you before they hear you represent me. So that's what we're getting into. We've had some of that experience as we got to the end of the chapter. But now in chapter 2, again, the word wherefore. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, you have to just pause for a moment, because everything you just read is now going to come to a logical conclusion, or at least give you a moment to say, okay, here's a life lesson coming right now. And that's how I sort of study through the scriptures. If you see a wherefore or therefore, get ready, because God's about ready to give you a life lesson. He's about giving you something that's going to allow you, applied to your life, it's going to allow you to live a little bit easier, a little bit better, here representing him. So, now again, remember who the first recipients were of this letter. They were the dispersed Jews. They were the ones that were scattered abroad. Now, if you were in their shoe, well, if you were in their cave, if you were in their no home, if you had nothing but the clothes on your back, if you had all these things, do you think you would complain a little bit? Just say yes, because we all would. I know we all would. We complain when we have it good, let alone when we don't. So that's the people. So we find in verse 1, wherefore, because of everything you've just understood. In fact, even verse 1 or verse 25 of chapter 1. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word of the Lord. Everything I just told you about him is true. Wherefore, because of that, lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, and envies, and all evil speaking. Have you ever wondered, when you come into a list like this, what was going on that they got that penned to them? What was happening in their life? What was going on in the readers, the original readers' life, that this list was given strictly to them and now to us? Well, obviously, look at where they're at. Look what's happening to their life. Look what's going on. Look where they're now living. Look what they've lost. And so he says, you know, the malice. Don't hold that stuff. Don't hang on to that. Or the gall, the anger, just don't have that in here. Because one of the greatest downfalls, and I believe, a child of God's life, is when we hang on to the bitterness and the anger of the past. Because we can't change the past, but we can heal from the past. And there's two separate entities in that completely. And I'm going to tell you what, if you hold the bitterness, you hold the anger of the past, you will never heal from the past. And therefore, that is going to set the course of the rest of your life if you don't heal from it. And I don't know what that looks like to each and every one of us. It's different for every one of us because we've all been through different scenarios. But the need to heal from the past, I think, is huge. And so if we hang on to that, Hebrews 12 says that if we harbor bitterness in our heart, then we give Satan a foothold, or we fall away from the fellowship of God. And to me, that's a foothold that Satan has in our life. We will never heal from the past. We will never get, and I hate, getting over the past isn't even a right terminology, because you never get over, you work through. You move on, or you move through with God still healing from the past, but you'll never go any further. You will be stuck right there for the rest of your life. And constantly, whatever that scenario may have been in the past, will constantly be winning in your life. And just use a scenario of somebody. So maybe somebody says something about you, somebody railroads you, somebody cheats you, somebody does something to you. Most of the time, the person that did it to you, they're sleeping like a baby all night while you're up all night fretting about it. That stuff destroys you. And I think that's what Peter's trying to say here. Lay aside all that stuff because it's only going to destroy you. Do you think the Nero and the Romans and all the persecutors in this day, do you think they were really losing sleep by what they were doing at night? Absolutely not. They said, listen, you know who you are. You know who you belong to. Stay on the foundation. And you, again, according to verse 13, gird up the loins of what? Your mind. You can't hang on to those things because they're going to infect your mind. And they're not going to allow you to be able to represent Christ if you hang on to them. So, move those things away. The hypocrisy, the envy, the evil speaking, all those things. But here's what you need to be. That was the negative. You know, by the way, I've heard it said this way. I think it's very important to understand. You know, we don't like negative in our life, right? The negative, all the bad things, all the crazy things. But take the negative wire or cable off of your car and see how far you can go. We need negative in our life in order for us to move forward with God, deeper level with a greater love. We need the negative to make it work. You need the positive and the negative. And Scripture gives us that. The negative is, don't hang on to these things. Lay aside all these. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So the illustration is very clear. And there's nothing worse than, bless you, there's nothing worse than having to get up in the morning and all night you have your little one crying because they're hungry. A baby has no other way to express its needs but to cry. So Paul's saying is as much as they desire that milk, that feeding, that food, and guaranteed they're going to scream and kick and holler until you give it to them. When's the last time you had that kind of a mindset towards opening the Bible? You're going to kick and scream and do whatever you can until you get in there. And that's just not your 15-minute little say a prayer, I'm all done for the day devotion either. It's getting into the Word of God. Paul's using a very vivid illustration, or Peter's using a very vivid illustration of the concept of how we need to basically stay on the foundation. Set aside all that junk, set aside all the stuff that don't need to be there, and have a desire, have a heart bent towards the Word of God as a baby when they're hungry, kicking, fighting, screaming, and not happy until they're in there, until they get it. And that, to me, it gives me a really good vivid picture of how I should be desiring to get into the Word of God. And so I think he's setting that out there because he's very clear in his illustration. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that we have a desire to be into the Word of God? Well, it says it in the very end of that verse, that ye may grow thereby. That you may be able to take the Word of God, that you may be able to apply the Word of God. Listen, we can't apply something that we don't know. We, at times, think we're not accountable. If I don't know about it, then I'm not accountable for it. Let the policeman know that the next time you get pulled over. I didn't know. Ain't gonna work. Ignorance doesn't help when you get a ticket, I'm telling you. It doesn't matter. Because why? Because of the policeman, when you're driving a car, expects you to know the rules of the road. You're expected to know. Why? Because you have a privilege of driving on it. That's exactly what Paul or Peter said in the whole first chapter. Because you know all this, you have all this, you've got that relationship with God, it's expected of you to want to desire and to know God more and more. That's part of what God says. Listen, look, do you realize all I did for you? Do you realize all the grace I've given you? Do you realize who you are as my child? The least you could do is desire to spend time with me as a newborn babe does this desire for the milk. I think that's a tremendous illustration of how we need to be able to gird our minds up, as it says in verse 13, chapter 1. How do you gird your mind up? Get rid of the junk and fill it with the good stuff. That's how we need to live. Pretty simple, right? It's not rocket science. The more we pack into our brain of the junk, the less room there's going to be for the good stuff. And I guarantee you, when things get bad, whatever you fill your mind with the most is what's going to come out in your life. Period. You can claim God. You can know God. You can say, you know, if this ever happened to me. Sometimes we do that in a very vicious way. We see somebody going through struggles of life. We see somebody going through something. Well, if that happened to me, I would never act like that. Man, you just may give yourself a death wish. You don't say stuff like that to God. Because why? Because you don't know how you will handle life until that same scenario hits your life. We're living in a world where unless it affects my back pocket, unless it affects me, I'm not going to worry about it. Because why? We're a very narrow, self-minded, selfish nation. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. Because it's all about what I need, what I think is right. And Peter was saying, listen, I realize you guys were up in the caves. I realize you guys lost everything. I realize that you are in total tribulation right now. But don't ever forget who you are. Don't think evil about the men that are doing this. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're a child of God, live like one. Don't be a hypocrite or envy those who aren't being tortured and under all kind of tribulation. Don't look at them over there. Listen, I'm convinced Satan is the one who paints the greener grass on the other side. Because if you're on this side of the fence and you've got God, that there's no better place to be. There is no better green. But boy, he makes it look a lot better, doesn't he? Looks a lot better on the other side. So he said, we need to gird up our minds. We need to get rid of the junk, focus on the good. And as we focus on the good, this is the plug-in. This is sort of and again, I got a visual things. I'm a visual learner. This is the plug that extends from me plugging into so that I have that desire, so that I have that want to get rid of the old and keep the new. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you ever tasted the grace of God? Have you ever experienced God's blessing that you never deserved? Man, all of us have. We've all experienced things that God has blessed us with, allowed us to be a part of, or allow us to work through in our life that we really have no other reason to say, but God is the one who got me through it, or God is the one who provided. God is the one who lifted me and carried me. God is the one who did it. Give him all the glory and the credit for it. But Peter says, if you've tasted that grace, you see, that's the cord. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always, always want us to be there, to learn, to get more of him, to understand him more. So I think these first three verses of chapter 2 are very important because it really sets how we need to be responding, how we need to respond to the negative, laid aside. How do we need to respond to the positive, the truth of God? Man, we need to kick and scream until we can get it. And I'm going to tell you, I really believe that our deep soul, our soul kicks and screams for the Word of God. Even though we may think we don't have time or we may choose to do other things, your soul longs to be in the presence of God if you are his child. And don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that soul desire to be a part of God's plan, to be a part of who God is, because that will allow you to stay on the foundation no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens in your life. And that allows you also to be healed from the past. because I've met many people who are struggling not being able to go to the past, not being able to stop forgetting about what happened. And you know, there are some things in our life it's never going to leave. One of the books I use in counseling with a lot of people is the Trauma Zone. It's a very good book. If you ever get a hold of it, it's a great book to read. But it's a book that allows the individuals to feel like trauma is a zone. And a lot of people feel there's no way out of that. There's no way different. And, you know, you got this mind that continues to play that looping video of whatever it was. And it continues and it continues. And it even says in a book, you just need to grab the remote and play a different video. And it's a simple concept, but how true it is. If your mind is running the negative, if your mind, listen, in our world, it's not hard to watch the news and become very negative. Watch the negative too long and you become a negative person. Nobody really wants to be around a negative person very long. But that negative that keeps running, you just need to get the remote, put on a different loop. Put on a different, if you've tasted the grace of God, why don't you think about that for a while? Why don't you think about how God has brought you through, how God has blessed you, how God has allowed you to have an experience. You know, we plan in America for a future joy, a future retirement, a future, when I retire, I'm going to. And you know how many people I talk to every day that made that statement and now they're not going to? Very few people actually live the retirement they planned. Very few percentage. Because why? Because we're planning way out. We're working for all that. And as Solomon said, most people who have the storehouses full for someone else to enjoy. Solomon knew. Solomon knew exactly what he was talking about. For the most part, again, some individuals will be able to squeak through that, but for the most part, many do not spend the retirement that they plan. So it's the mindset. It's the girding up the mind. It's the how we think on things. Get rid of the negative. Put the positive in. If you've tasted the grace of God, that's your ultimate reason. Because, you know, I want to taste God's grace every day, more and more. And I'm not going to if I'm not plugged into it. I'm not going to if I'm not mind-focused on who He is and seeing the needs of the people in front of me and being able to work with that. Let's see. The next section is kind of lengthy. I think we better quit. I'll be going and you won't have time to pray, and this is prayer meeting. But we're going to pick it up on verse 4 next Wednesday, and we'll follow that down through, because I don't want to speed through this next part, because this is the result of. The verses to follow will be the result of setting aside all the negative and then adding into the positive, tasting the grace of God, keeping your mind focused on Him, because there's a real good reason for that. And we'll see that as we go down through the text next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. God, we thank You and praise You for simply that truth, who You are. We have no way of defining that. But God, we know that because of who You are, there is hope. There is faithfulness. There is a way out. There is a foundation we can stand on. And God, we really do just need to think differently. We need to guard our thoughts, guard our heart, as Proverbs says. And Father, I pray as we study that we do gain that strength. This is a how-to. You know, how can we stay there? How can we stay focused? Well, very clearly, we stay focused when we get rid of the negative and more of the positive comes in. And Father, we just thank You and praise You for using us in the ways that You do. We thank You in Your Son's name. Amen. Alrighty. So.